ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الحمد لله we praise Allah we seek His forgiveness and seek His assistance we seek refuge in Allah from the evil in ourselves and from our bad deeds Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide him. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be misguided, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship other than Allah. He stands alone with no partners. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his faithful servant and messenger. The next topic we would like to cover pertains to the neighbors. And some of us might not quite understand why the relationship between the neighbors and ourselves is so important. But the neighbors enjoy rights over us over and above those enjoyed by brothers in Islam. The neighbor is entitled to the same rights as every Muslim, but he is also entitled to more besides by virtue of him just being a neighbor. Hold on one second. The rights of neighbors do not only entail refraining from harming them, we should also put up with their disturbance, be kind to them, be the ones who initiate good deeds, be the first to greet a neighbor, not to prolong disputes, visit them when they are ill, console them at times of sorrow, and congratulate them at times of joy. We should forgive their mistakes. We should not stare into their houses, nor should we pour water in their gutters, nor throw dirt onto their courtyard, nor stare at anything they may carry into their house, conceal whatever of their private matters that they may inadvertently reveal. We should not eavesdrop on their conversations, nor look at their women, and take care of their family's needs when they are absent. We should not disturb them in any way. We should be kind to their children, and we should guide them in religious or worldly matters of which they have little knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 36, Worship Allah and do not associate anything with Him, and do parents, and to parents do good, and to relatives and orphans, the needy, the near neighbor, and the neighbor further away, the companion at your side, the traveler, and those whom your right hands possess. Indeed, Allah does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful. Imam Qurtubi said about this, as for the neighbor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us in his book and through his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to protect him, to respect his rights, and to care about his welfare. Do you not see that he has mentioned the neighbor at the parents and the close relatives? For he says, the near neighbor, meaning those who are related to you, and the neighbors further away, meaning those who are not related to you. And this is the saying of Ibn Abbas. Our point to be said, on this basis, concern for neighbors is a religious duty, regardless of whether they are Muslims or unbelievers, and this is the sound opinion. Ihsan could only mean consoling him, treating him kindly, refraining from disturbing him, and defending him. What is the definition of a neighbor? The word neighbor covers both Muslims and non-believers, religious and irreligious, friends and enemies, foreigners and fellow countrymen, those who treat you well and those who do you harm, relatives and strangers, those whose house is nearer to yours and those who are further away. Neighbors fall into various categories. The best are those who combine all the desirable qualities mentioned. The next best are those who bear most of these qualities. And so on until we reach the neighbors who bear only one of those qualities. The worst neighbors are those who combine all the undesirable qualities. Each neighbor is accorded rights according to the category which he falls into. If a neighbor exhibits both good and bad qualities, we must judge which outweighs the other and treat him accordingly. The extent of the neighborhood. our Zai and Ibn Shihab said, 40 houses in each direction. Meaning in each direction of your house, the 40 houses along that way, they are considered your neighbor. From Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will not enter paradise, he whose neighbor is not safe from his behavior. From Aisha, radiallahu anhu, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibril kept on recommending me to treat my neighbor well until I thought that he would tell me to make him one of my heirs. From Abu Dhar, radiallahu anhu, who said, my dear friend, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advised me, whenever you cook some stew, add some extra water to it, then look to some household in your neighborhood and look to them in kindness. In another version it says, so you will have plenty for your family and neighbors. We should be cooperative towards neighbors. From Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you should prevent his neighbor from fixing wood against his walls. To refrain from harming your neighbor is a part of faith. No deed which harms a neighbor can be regarded as insignificant. A righteous neighbor contributes to happiness. From Abdullah ibn Masawir, who said, I heard Ibn Abbas mention Ibn al-Zubair saying that he was a miser. Then he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, he is not a believer, he who eats to his fill, whilst his neighbor beside him goes hungry. From Anas, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, by him in whose hand is my soul, no one truly believes until he loves for his neighbor or his brother what he loves for himself. Advice to women not to scorn the gift of a neighbor. From Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, O Muslim women, no one should scorn the gift of a neighbor, even if it is only a sheep's foot. From Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, charity may not be given to a rich person, but it should be given to those who fight in the way of Allah, to the wayfarer, or to a poor neighbor, who may later give a gift or invite you to his home. So we should cooperate with our neighbors. From Aisha, radiallahu anha, who said, by Allah, we used to watch the new moon, 3 new moons in the space of 2 months, and no fire for cooking was lit in the house of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narrator said, O aunt, what did you live on? She said, the 2 black ones, dates and water. However, the Messenger of Allah had an Ansari neighbors who kept livestock. They used to send some of its milk to the Messenger of Allah, and he used to give it to us to drink. If your neighbor is guilty of a major sin, then he should not be left alone. If he is committing a sin in secret behind closed doors, then leave him and turn a blind eye to what he is doing. But if you can advise him in secret, then that is better to do so. If he stubbornly persists in his evil ways, then avoid him altogether. Try to move to another neighborhood, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought refuge from bad neighbors in one's permanent home. If your neighbor is a Shiite who engages in major innovations in the religion, and you have taken it upon yourself to teach him and guide him, then try your best. If you cannot do that, then keep away from him. Do not strike up any friendship or relationship with him. It is better to move away from the area altogether. If your neighbor at home in the marketplace or in the farm is a Jew or a Christian, then treat him well and do not disturb him. However, concerning those whose main concern is to accept the invitation of the Jewish and Christian neighbors, those who make friends with them and become too close to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Mujadila, Ayah 22, You will not find a people who believe in Allah and the last day having affection for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, even if they were their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their kindred. Those He has decreed within their hearts faith, and He has supported them with a spirit from Him. We will admit them to gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide eternally. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. Those are the party of Allah. They are the successful. You should not initiate the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum with Jewish or Christian neighbors. If they greet you thus, then simply reply, Wa Alaikum. It is permissible to exchange brief inquiries about their health, how they are, etc., but not to prolong such exchanges. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 54, O you have believed, whoever of you should revert from his religion, Allah will bring forth in place of them a people He will love, and who will love Him. Humble towards the believers, fierce against the unbelievers. They strive in the cause of Allah, and they do not fear the blame of the critic. This is the favor of Allah. He bestows it upon whom He wills, and Allah is all-encompassing, knowing. Another thing that we should do in our families is having family discussions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ashura, Ayah 38, and those who have responded to their Lord and established prayer, and whose affairs determined by consultation among themselves from what we have provided them, they spend. Making time for the household members to get together and discuss family matters is a good way of the family cooperating with one another and thus strengthening the ties between them. No doubt the husband and the father are responsible for the household, and they are the ones who are answerable in front of Allah for the management of their families. As the children get older, they must give responsibilities and duties so that they may receive some training for when they are older. This is part of their upbringing as well as learning Islamic knowledge. However, every statement and action must be preceded by having knowledge of it in light of the Quran and the Sunnah. Some family matters need to be discussed privately between the father and son, or the mother and daughter, especially matters which need to be private to them and need to be dealt with individually. Of course, as the children grow up, these difficulties of youth will increase. We should not show differences in front of the children. One should aim to lessen the disputes in the first place, and we have the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a good example for the men and how to deal with their wives. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given guidelines in how to deal with the husbands and their position with them. One must know that in the Muslim home, starting to establish righteousness and peace is very important. Indeed, security in the home will reflect upon society as a whole. Conflict and arguments between the parents will obviously have an effect upon the children, either by them taking sides, thus causing enmity between them, or to suffer from distress and worry by seeing the problems. So it's better to discuss any differences in private. Hanging the stick where it may be seen. This is one of the ways in which one may punish and teach manners. Also, the hanging of a stick in the house will be like a threat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith related by At-Tabarani, and it states, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hang the sticks where they can be seen by the people of the house, because it is a way of teaching manners to them. Al-Anbari said that this does not mean hit them with it, because one has not been ordered to do that. It is just to teach the manners from you. Hitting is not the thing which is resorted to first, and it is not the only way to correct things, as is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 34. Men are the protectors and maintainers of women, because Allah has given one more strength than the other, and because they support them from their means. Therefore, the righteous women are devoutly obedient and guarding their husband's absence, what Allah would have them guard. As for the women on whose part you fear disloyalty and ill conduct, admonish them first, next refuse to share their beds, and last, beat them lightly. But if they return to obedience, seek not against the means of annoyance, for Allah is Most High, great. Also the Hadith, order your children to perform the prayer when they are 7, and spank them when they are 10. One should not resort to hitting without a need, as once the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advised a woman not to marry a man because he used to hit his women. One may also boycott anyone for a sin as it is related from Aisha, radiallahu anha, that whenever the Messenger of Allah heard someone from his household tell a lie, he would boycott them until he saw that they had repented. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to be very kind to children. He used to talk to them in a gentle way, stroke their heads, carry them on his back, and give them dates before he ate one. Ibn Abbas said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived at Mecca, the small children of Bani Abdul Muttalib welcomed him. He put one of them on his back and carried one of them in his arms. The head of the household has many duties to perform. Therefore, he should try to spend as much time at home as possible to rectify, educate, and reform his family. With some people, the fundamental rule is to be outside the home unless there's a reason to be there. This is a big mistake. If you have to go out, you must think and assess. An advantage of being at home is that you know better the state of your children. You can see who their friends are and what they get up to. Some parents do not know or do not even ask where their children go, and so they are tempted more easily into bad company, which means they can go out and hang with a bad crowd or even get involved in drugs and alcohol. However, you must observe wisdom in your observation of the children, for example, by not showing your suspicions to them or by frightening them with extreme anger, and also that your advice or punishment should always fit the crime. Some homes these days resemble hotels in the way the family live and interact. The children eat when they want to eat and sleep when they want to sleep, and they come and go as they please. They stay up till very late at night without the parents even knowing. There must be some discipline in the house regarding timetables of activities. Families should try to eat together, and permission must be sought, especially from the younger ones when they have to go out. Another thing that we should be very careful of is guarding the secrets of the house. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "For amongst the most evil of people with Allah on the Day of Judgment is a man who has a relationship with his wife, and she with him, then he spreads her secrets." Also from the evidence showing its prohibition, there is a hadith of Asma bint Yazid, that she was with the Messenger of Allah, and there were some men and women there also. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "Perhaps a man will say what he does with his family, and the woman would inform what she did with her husband." The people were silent, and she said, "By Allah, O Messenger of Allah, the women do this, and indeed the men also do that." He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, "Do not do that, for it is like a male shaitan meeting a female shaitan in the road, and they having relationships while the people are watching." Another matter is not to spread the marital affairs outside the home. One should avoid this because you may find that people will interfere, people will give wrong advice, and have other motives apparently trying to help. But on the inside, they have other intentions. And preferably, they should act upon the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa, Ayat 35, "And if you fear dissension between the two, send an arbitrator from his people and an arbitrator from her people. If they both desire reconciliation, Allah will cause it between them. Indeed, Allah is ever knowing and acquainted." Also regarding the wife of Lut and the wife of Nuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Allah presents an example of those who disbelieve, the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut. They were under two of our righteous servants, but they both betrayed them. So they did not avail from Allah at all, and it was said, into the fire with those who entered." It is also forbidden to spy. It is forbidden to look into other people's houses without their permission. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "If someone is peeping into your house without your permission, and you throw a stone at him and damage his eyes, there will be no blame on you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anyone peeks into the house of a people without their permission, and he knocks out his eye, kasas nor diya is incurred for his eye. Even if one has come to the door seeking permission, one must avoid looking in when the door is open for him. As Sa'd bin Ibn Abi Waqqas came and stood at the door, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, stand away from it. Stand this side or that side. Asking permission is meant to escape from the look. Which brings up the topic of seeking permission to enter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, Ayahs 27 through 28, O you who believe, do not enter houses other than your own houses until you ascertain, welcome, and greet their inhabitants. That is best for you. Perhaps you will be reminded. If you do not find anyone therein, do not enter them until permission has been given to you. If it is said to you, go back, then go back. It is clear for you, and Allah is knowing what you do. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah 189, and it is not righteousness to enter houses from the back. The righteousness is the one who fears Allah and enter houses from their doors, and fear Allah that you may succeed. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked permission to enter, he knocked the door three times with a greeting, and whenever he spoke a sentence, he used to repeat it three times. When he reached his house, Zaynab, the wife of Ibn Mas'ud, came and asked permission to enter. It was said, O Messenger of Allah, it is Zaynab. He asked, which Zaynab? The reply was that she was the wife of Ibn Mas'ud. He said, yes, allow her to enter. So she was admitted. So whenever you are asked to who it is, who's calling, you have to say your name. You can't say, it's me. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and she should not allow anyone to enter his house except with his permission. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said Abu Musa came as if he was scared and said, I asked permission to enter Umar's house three times, but I was not given permission, so I returned. When Umar came to know about this, he said to Abu Musa, why did you not enter? Abu Musa replied, I asked permission three times and I was not given it, so I returned. For the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any one of you asks permission three times to enter and permission is not given, then he should return. Also, we should order our children not to enter our bedrooms. The children are ordered not to enter the bedroom of the husband and wife without permission during the times of sleep and rest. These are before the dawn, before Fajr, after Isha, and the time of the midday nap. There is a threat that they may intrude on their privacy, and they are mentioned in the ayat as those who intermingle with them in their home. Ikrimah said, a group of people from Iraq said, O Ibn Abbas, what is your opinion about the ayat in which we have been commanded, whatever we have been commanded with, but no one acts upon it? His statement, the most mighty, the most majestic, Surah An-Nur, Ayat 58, O you who believe, that those whom your right hands possess and those who have not reached purity among you ask permission of you before entering. For three times. Before the dawn prayer, and inside your clothing for rest at noon, and after the night prayer. These are the three times of privacy for you. There is no blame on you nor upon them beyond these periods, for they are habitually circling among you and each other. Thus does Allah make clear to you the verses, and Allah is all-knowing, wise. Ibn Abbas said about this ayat, Allah is most clement and most merciful to the believers. He loves concealment. The people had neither curtains nor canopies in their houses. Sometimes a servant, a child, or a female orphan of the man entered while the man was having sexual intercourse with his wife. So Allah commanded them to seek permission in those times of undress. Then Allah brought them curtains and all good things, and I did not see anyone following it after that. Yeah. spreading good manners and gentleness in the house. It is related from Aisha, radiallahu anha, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, if Allah, the Most Mighty and the Most Majestic, intends good for the people of a house, He puts within them gentleness. That is, that the people are gentle and mild with each other. This is one of the reasons of happiness of the house. And this gentleness is very beneficial if it is between the wives and the children, between the couple and between the children. Many men do not like to help in the home. They see it as something degrading. However, they should help, as the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to sew up his own clothes, he used to repair his own sandals, and he would do other things. This is what Aisha, radiallahu anha, said when she was asked what the Messenger of Allah used to do in the house. She answered with what she witnessed herself in the house. In another narration, she said, he was a man amongst men who used to patch up his clothes, he used to milk his goat, and he used to serve himself. She was also asked about what the Messenger of Allah did in his house. She said, he used to serve his family, and when the prayer came, he used to go to the prayer. Doing this has benefits when we are following the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and creating an atmosphere of peace and happiness in our house. We will feel humility and not feel proud and haughty, as many men do. They even ask their wives to carry the food straight away while the pot is over the fire and the baby is crying because it needs to be nursed. So care of them takes care of cooking, or shouldn't he? She take care of it. Being playful with one's wife and children is a reason for coming together and spreading happiness in the home, as the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to Jabir, that he should have married a virgin. And he incited him to do that, as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, you will play with her, and she will play with you. You will laugh with her, and she will laugh with you. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, everything which does not contain the dhikr of Allah is amusement and play, except for four. And one of the things he mentioned was a man playing with his wife. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to play with his wife, Aisha, radiallahu anha, and he used to bathe with her, as she said. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to bathe together. Pardon me. She said, I and the Messenger of Allah used to bathe together from one pot in our house. The pot used to be between me and him. He used to race with it. And he used to say, leave some, leave some. She said that they both used to be janood. As for playing with the children, then there are many examples from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, playing with Hassan and Hussein, even in the prayer. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the one who is not merciful will not have mercy shown to him. Inshallah, we're going to stop there for tonight. We'll continue tomorrow, inshallah. If anyone has any questions, they can ask them now, inshallah. SubhanAllah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.